This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On February 27, 1994, the NBA's Board of Governors approved a second Canadian expansion franchise to accompany previously announced Toronto, and the Vancouver team that we know as the Grizzlies was born. While Commissioner David Stern was eager to extend pro basketball's reach into the Great White North, ominous signs were present from the beginning, as the team failed to sell its required season ticket quota before its inaugural year, being bailed out by Canadian pharmacy chain Shoppers Drug Market, who bought up the remaining surplus. And in its early years, the team's apathetic reception by Vancouverite locals was only exacerbated by its roster miscues, as it drafted busts like the sluggish Bryant Big Country Reeves and the talented but oft-injured Sharif Abdur-Rahim. In 2001, amid underperformance in the standings and, more importantly, in fan attendance, new owner Michael Heisley abandoned Saltwater City and moved the franchise to the home of the Blues, Memphis, Tennessee. And so began the residency of the Memphis Grizzlies, another relocated team with a geographical non sequitur of a name, like the Los Angeles Lakers and the Utah Jazz. But also like the Lakers and Jazz, the Grizzlies would find success in their adopted home, developing its trademark grit-and-grind identity with the acquisition of players like Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley Jr., and Tony Allen. The team's bruising physical defense and throwback low-post offense, colloquially referred to as Old Man Game, would propel them to a 7-year playoff run, accompanied by raucous sellout crowds, that hit its peak in a Western Conference Finals appearance in 2013. But long before it was known for its hoops fanaticism, Memphis was a hub of Southern cuisine. In 1973, in nearby Vernon, Tennessee, Ms. Maggie Vanderbilt and her husband Na opened a restaurant, Maggie's Short Order, that became famed for its fried chicken. In 1984, their son Gus used his parents' beloved recipe to open a breaded bird-centric concept of his own. The younger Vanderbilt's restaurant was a local hit, and after years of success, it launched its own expansion franchises, now with 25 locations slinging its signature spicy fried chicken and sides. The chain has drawn praise from food celebs like Rachel Ray and Adam Richman, and also from sports writer Lang Whitaker, who now works for the Memphis Grizzlies organization, and who, in GQ magazine, declared it, quote, the best fried chicken in the world. This week on Doughboys, Gus's world-famous fried chicken. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, alongside my co-host, Postmates Malone, Mitchie Two Spoons, Mike Mitchell.
I like that one.
That was courtesy of Ryan Wells. If you have an insult you'd like me to use on Mitch at the top of the show, roastspoonman@gmail.com is the address.
I use it too much.
You think
I don't care about using it too much for the show. Fuck all of you.
But you use it too much in general beyond that in your personal life.
I gotta get some food shopping done. I'm gonna try to do it tomorrow.
Like actually physically go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Get some groceries.
I went yesterday. I got yogurts and I got a bunch of.
You're on a yogurt kick.
Yogurt helps my belly.
You were telling that we were having lunch with our guest. Just wait, was that yesterday?
Sunday.
We were having guests. We were recording on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We were having. So that was 2 days ago, if my math is correct. So we were having lunch with our guest, and you were talking about how yogurt was helping your tum-tum.
That's right. It is. It's helping my tum-tum.
It's easing your oft-present rumblies were subsiding.
What's ever going on down there? Whatever. The acidic. I feel like it's like you cut me open, and it's like cutting open an alien, like from Aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Do they cut open the aliens from Aliens, though, or is it a guy has an alien inside him?
They don't cut open. No, when they shoot the alien, when like they shoot the alien blood is basically acidic.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you open me up, I would be just as acidic as they. I would probably burn through the floor.
Because when I think when you're talking about some sort of stomach trouble and alien, mm-hmm. I think what people think of is the chest buster scene.
Yeah, well, and I'm so sorry I didn't go the fucking hacky route of I have an alien in my stomach.
I didn't think that was a hacky route. I just wanted to clarify. I wasn't saying, I wasn't critiquing your choice.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim, I remember like the days when the Celtics longed to like trade for him, like trade scenarios that would get us Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Dark days.
I know. I think Danny Ainge was hot on him. He was a decent player.
He was a decent player.
But
yeah, your Celtics, the Antoine Walker era, the team was not nearly.
I liked them. They were a fun team.
And when they beat the Nets,
that comeback game against the Nets.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Wait, what era was this?
2002 Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay,
I believe,
right.
It was one of the greatest comebacks of all. It was such a. I mean, like I was already a fan at that point, but it really cemented being a huge Celtic and really pushed the Celtics up to where like through college they were one of my favorites.
And who ended up winning that series?
The Nets.
And who ended up winning the championship that year?
The fucking Lakers. And you know what? It was one of those times that it was hard to root for either team because I hated the Nets and I hated the Lakers. But I don't know. You know, I would actually root for the Lakers in some scenarios. I don't know if the Celtics will get to the finals. They lost two in a row to the Cavs.
The outcome will have been decided by the time this episode is released.
Wow.
We'll be in the finals.
I might be sad.
Right.
But you know what? You were fucking wrong. You were really wrong. You said that Philadelphia was going to win in five games.
Mm-hmm.
You were way off.
Yeah, I picked against them. I was with the consensus. You know, I picked Philadelphia in five games. Zach Lowe. Who knows more about hoops than Zach Lowe?
Guess what? I know more about basketball than you.
That's not true.
I said that the Celtics would win in seven.
You didn't make any predictions.
I said the Celtics would win in seven with Philadelphia.
I think you're retconning that. That's
true. Mm. I said it to you after you tweeted your thing. I said Celtics in seven.
Wait, how many games did the Celtics win in, though?
They won it in five, I think.
So you were also wrong.
But you were the reverse wrong.
I don't know. I think you were the reverse wrong.
And I said
wrong.
Celtics in seven for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that they can pull off. We'll see.
It might happen.
It might not.
Maybe the outcome will have been decided by then.
LeBron is really good, so yeah. Who knows? But, I mean, he's good. What can I say?
Hey, Mitch.
Because that team sucks.
Right.
Anyway, I have a drop to play. I know that we've taken too much time. We're going to introduce our guest.
Yes.
Here's a shitty drop.
Is this going somewhere?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm fine with it, actually.
What? I took a shit.
I know.
What? I took a shit. What? I took a shit.
I know.
What? I took a shit.
I know.
Oh, that was good. That was longer than normal drop, but it was great.
If you called up like Comcast
mm-hmm.
and that was like the hold music, what would your reaction be? You'd just sort of be pleasantly listening to like, you know, 16 bars of it, and then suddenly your voice cuts in.
I'd
be irked.
You don't think that would be fun?
I think that would be so much better
than normal wait music. Also, that was from Nick. I don't know if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the song at all? Did you recognize the song?
Yeah, that's the Zelda 64 mm-hmm. main menu, which is often confused with the Variations on a Theme by Eric Satie, which is used at the end of My Dinner with Andre.
Yep, the relaxing Zelda drop.
Yeah, beautiful.
Shampoodler. Thanks, Shampoodler.
Nice work, Shampoodler. Hey, Mitch, let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, it's been too long.
A writer for Monk and Teen Titans Go, his new animated series, Little Big Awesome, is now streaming on Amazon Prime. Ben Gruber is here. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks. Right, I already don't like the way I sounded in that. Oh, well. Hi, guys.
And also, his latest show has a little someone special on it.
Who are you referring to?
Yeah.
Maybe just little old Spoon Man himself. I think I'm losing you viewers.
It has you. He performed so well. I figured it was just going to be a guest spot, but he lit up the room in his guest spot. He's become a regular.
The truth is I cried and said, please have me back.
He now canonically in the show lives in the main character as played by Jess McKenna, lives in Jess McKenna's hat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Which will probably be some sort of real life scenario for me someday.
Oh, boy. Let's start the GoFundMe for spinal surgery. McKenna needs a new hip.
I didn't mean while it's on her head.
Okay.
I meant like a thrown away hat.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
She does wear great hats.
Yeah, she's got some good hats.
Our writer's assistant always was like jonesing for all her clothes. Like Jessica would come in just like wearing a matching outfit of like pineapples.
Yeah.
And the ladies loved it.
Yeah. I feel like Jess is a cool UCB person who has style. And we're like the gross old men that should leave the theater, which we did. And oh, God.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm wearing a bird shirt.
You started looking at your shirt.
I got a cool bird shirt on right now.
You're like Winnie from The New Girl.
Yeah.
You think you're the type of the hip, cool people at the theater? You think you're one of them?
Bird shirts are cool, honestly.
Yeah, like, I think this bird shirt is cutting edge. I got this at a hip clothing outlet.
I hope a fucking duck hunter shoots you one day.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us. You're from outside Philly.
I am. I'm from the Villanova area. You might know them as, what are they, NCAA champs? Is that a thing?
I think so, yeah.
Didn't they just win this year?
I don't follow college sports.
Well, I don't either. Nick. I don't follow sports, but I know that the Eagles won and that then Villanova won.
Hey, there you go.
So my grandpa went to Villanova. Applied to get in. Didn't get in. Went to Ithaca, where you are also an alumni.
I am. That's true. You and I.
Mm-hmm.
But then he transferred? Is that what happened?
No, he my grandpa?
Yeah.
No, he went to Villanova.
You said he didn't get in.
No, I didn't get in.
Oh, you? Oh,
I was confused.
My grandpa went there. I applied.
I thought you were talking about your grandpa not getting into Villanova.
No, he got in.
Okay.
Probably had a blast.
Yeah, that mainline living is good.
Yeah, 1930s Villanova. I'm not sure how it was then, but
they wore those fur coats and those boater hats and just were waving pennants all the time.
That seems fun,
right? That's a thing.
More fun than maybe I had at Ithaca. We were both Ithaca alum. We were bonding over some food up there, the Arby's.
That's right.
The Taco Bell. And you said Ben & Jerry's, which I think was close. I think it wasn't there when I was there, but I could just be mistaken.
It was definitely open while I was there. I know for a fact
we
wanted to watch. Ugh, this shows how cool I was in college. Or now. my friends wanted to watch all three Star Wars movies on VHS while eating the Vermonster. Which is, I don't know how many scoops, 50 scoops of ice cream or something like that.
So crazy.
It comes in, imagine someone was going to make the world's largest salad, and then instead they made a sundae. That's the kind of bowl that it came in.
Right.
It was gigantic. And you had to return the bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could take the bowl out, but then you had to return it.
Yeah, so we took it to my friend's apartment.
How did that transport? Like, how far were you driving? Because I would think that would just be like that thing would be a melted mess by the time you got there.
It was like 5 minutes. It was cold out.
Right.
But it was like, it did have to sit in someone's lap who's...
Right.
I was going to say, it was cold out because it is always just cold in Ithaca.
Got it.
But I think that's probably the reason why I was never seeking out ice cream up there too much is because it was 1 degree outside.
I've heard that this is a weird ice cream fact, is that it sells better in colder territories. Areas. Yeah, like Alaska and Minnesota have very high ice cream sales.
Is it because people are like being hard-headed and they'll be like, fuck you, weather, I'll show you. I'm going to get ice cream.
It might be. That could be part of the attitude. It could also be...
you wanting to eat the snow in some way.
Yeah, right. I wonder if there is like kind of an instinct, though. It's like it's just like, you know, whatever the weather is outside, it's kind of you want to match whatever that intensity is, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you also look like, and this is partly just because of where those crops grow, but like, you know, tropical climates are where all the spicy food is for the most part.
Right. In Vietnam, they're eating like spicy soups out in the street.
Right, and it's super hot.
And it's super hot there. Yeah,
so.
I do crush a lot of soups here in this hot hellhole of L.A.
Hot hellhole is a little much.
It's a disgusting...
It's a hot hellhole.
It's a hot hellhole.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's not that hot.
I mean, right now we got some May gray going on and some June gloom is coming, which I like. But it's still, what are you talking about?
There are times it gets hot, but I feel like the LA is like more temperate than it is like, because it gets super hot in like DC and New York City.
It's swampy there. And
yeah.
That part's true. But look, I've been here and it's been 118 degrees.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean,
it's a desert for fuck's sake.
I would say it's if you go to the actual desert, like if you go to like Phoenix, Arizona or Las Vegas, Nevada, uh-huh. that's a lot hotter there, and that gets a lot less comfortable. Sure. I think LA is comparably temperate. And certainly if you go to like San Diego, it's delightful.
It's also very hot.
It's also very hot, but it's delightful.
Well, have you noticed here, this is what I've noticed. I'm a somewhat recent transplant to LA.
Yeah.
The native cuisine seems to be turkey dinners and the creamy kind of clam chowder. What do you call that? Boston clam chowder or something like that.
Where are you
New
eating?
England clam chowder. I eat at a lot of diners.
Okay.
So like Patty's, the Talleyrand.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I think some of these diners are I think these are people from who moved out here in like the 50s or something.
Maybe that's it, because everybody's offering that creamy clam chowder and like you don't want to, you don't want it to be 98 degrees and you're just chugging down clam chowder.
Right, right. It's just not the first thing I think of when I think of LA food.
I was gonna say this though.
Yeah.
In like at the ice cream parlor, which is the former, which used to be Brigham's.
Yeah.
I feel like in the summertime the ice cream sells way better. So I don't. I mean, like, look, there's holiday cream. When are you creaming? When are you creaming is a good hashtag question.
Careful with that hashtag.
When are you creaming?
Click with caution.
Because I feel like, look, around the holidays, the ice cream goes way up.
Right.
You're having some dessert. Around
sure.
There. For you, you get ice cream every day like a little boy.
Not every day.
You had ice cream with us. Sorry, I don't want to spoil the meal, but.
No, we can. I mean, yeah, that's
a teaser.
Yeah.
You did have some ice cream.
Yeah, no, I got some pie a la mode. I do. I don't have ice cream.
Is that come a la mode, buddy? That's what you have.
Right? It's true.
Fine. Yes, that's true.
But I feel like around the holidays it goes way up.
Yeah.
But then also I feel like, well, you know what? Maybe you're right though. Maybe in the wintertime people are eating it, and then just when the break of summer they go little ice cream nuts or something.
Yeah, I don't know. This is I haven't lived anywhere outside of Southern California in my life, but I've read that actually ice cream sales are higher in colder climates.
Well, if you get a hot fudge sundae, you at least get that warming fudge.
That's true.
That's sweet, sweet fudge.
We should pour fudge on the snow.
What good would that do? So, just wasting fudge.
For the last couple years before moving to LA, my good lady wife owns a farm at the end of Long Island.
Well, that's cool.
It's super cool. It's right by the ocean. It's fantastic. We grow potatoes and corn, if anyone needs any. But there are no chain.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yes. <I'll take> there's no chain restaurants out there.
Oh, wow.
Just because it's like the little weird towns or whatever, and they don't want them.
What were you going to say, Mitch?
I was going to say, can I take Nick out behind the barn?
And shoot him?
You know, old yeller me?
Do you know, you can...
That's just murder.
The guy, Petey, who farms our farm, does people pay him in the winter to go to the back of the farm and shoot birds.
Oh, man.
So I was sleeping in the house. Yeah. Nobody told me this at first. I was sleeping in the house, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing like multiple gunshots and just seeing like birds raining down, Canadian geese raining down from the sky. So they just sit in the blind in the back.
Wait, is it because do they go after the crops? Is that what it is?
No, no, no. They just want to eat them.
Oh.
They pay. They're like local people who want to go hunting, and they hunt on the farm. They just shoot birds out of the sky.
But this is your wife's farm?
Yes.
Weird. This whole arrangement is crazy to me.
It's, well, you know, his he pays us some of that.
Got it. Okay.
And we use that money to pay like property taxes and stuff like that.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
We visited for a second earlier when I said the duck hunt thing. Do we ever see the protagonist of Duck Hunt?
You are the protagonist.
I know that you are.
Prototypical first person shooter.
You see yourself.
It's just you?
Yes. And that dog who's laughing at you like a little fucker.
Yeah. You'll see that dog. You'll see the protagonist when you turn off your TV screen. You see the reflection in that CRT.
No, I don't like that. I like to think that you're like controlling you're controlling some sort of animated character too.
I don't know. Does it irk you when you're like in a, you know, you're playing like Wolfenstein and it's just like you're just seeing the
yeah, but that also is some sort of character, right? Or no?
I mean, yeah, it's a character, but I mean, some of these games you don't really ever see them. Like Half-Life, you basically never see Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
Why don't you just imagine your favorite game character is holding that gun? Imagine Qbert is holding that gun.
It's definitely Qbert.
Yeah.
Josh Gad's.
Josh Gad's wife.
Qbert. They only made a Super Duck Hunt. I'm sorry that I'm going on this Duck Hunt tangent. It just popped in my head. They only made Super Duck Hunt afterwards, right? They never went further than that.
There was a sequel? I only remember the first one.
Was there not a Super Nintendo
Hold
one?
Hold on.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I remember a... Well, you know what? It might have been because they had the Super Scope.
They had
the
Super Scope,
which was not as good of a peripheral.
Yeah.
Our engineer... By the way, our engineer, Rob Pira, is with us today. Emma is out of town, so Rob's going to be helping us out for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But our engineer was nodding along. Did you have the Duck Hunt? Did you have the Super Nintendo version?
I had the Super Scope.
Okay, he had the Super Scope.
I had
the
Super Scope
Nintendo.
As well, I think, and they did not do much.
It was like a bazooka. It was not as cool as the original one, which was more of a handgun. But hold on, I'm going to look up the Duck Hunt series.
I guess just guns became problematic. Right for chill, maybe is that why Nintendo started to go away from it? Or?
I don't know why they did that. I think part of their calculation was because that would have been like 1992, 1994, somewhere in that range. That was before like there was like all
We loved guns back.
There was less gun panic then. Yeah,
there was a specific dongle just for Duck Hunt, or like not dongle. You were saying dongle earlier. He was talking about his. Wang before the angle of his dongle, the whole thing. But
it was weird.
It was very unpleasant. There's a specific controller just for Duck Hunt.
Yeah, the NES Zapper, which was like a little handgun.
And then you could put something else on it.
You could play other things on the Zapper. There was Duck Hunt. There was what else? I'm thinking of Wild Gunman.
Yeah,
Hogan's Alley. Gumshoe. I remember I had Gumshoe.
Yeah.
Which was I spent way too much time playing a very bad platformer that you controlled with a light gun. It was bizarre.
There was Mario Ends It.
Right.
He takes
really
his own
dark.
Life.
Yeah.
My friends from one of my birthdays, I don't remember what it was, got me the Power Glove.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what the name of it was?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The Nintendo Power Glove?
Like, in hindsight, I think then it was seen as cool, but a terrible...
It didn't work that well, but I did enjoy just wearing it and pretending I was from the future.
Yeah, there was also like some
Again,
sort
very
of shoes.
Cool.
They really, the what are they called? Peripherals?
They really
tried some terrible ones with Nintendo.
There was a bunch of stuff that didn't really work. Although I think that the Power Glove was not... I think that was a Mattel thing. I don't think that was an official Nintendo thing.
The Power Pad was Nintendo.
The Power Pad was Nintendo. So I'm not having any luck. I've been kind of buried in my laptop here. I'm not having any luck tracking down a Super Duck Hunt. The closest I can see is that there was Versus Duck Hunt, which was released as an arcade game.
Maybe I'm just thinking of the Super Scope.
Yeah, the Super Scope had some might have had a Duck Hunt similar game, but the only other Duck Hunt thing I could come across was that the dog was in Super Smash Brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
The dog fights in Super. That's insane.
The one who laughs at you fights in a game?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to kick that dog. That would be great. You can fight the dog. I would love to hit the dog.
Yeah, you can beat the shit out of the dog if you want. Did they keep him around, or did he die off even as a character?
He's in... So what you're actually doing in the Smash Brothers series, the duck. Let me see if we can find an image here, is that you're not playing as the dog. You're playing as Duck Hunt in the abstract. So we see that you get a dog and duck combo.
The spirit of Duck Hunt?
Yeah, right. You get a dog-duck combo, and they've got some like crazy moves. And then they're like the zapper is like an element of it. I actually don't really remember how this character plays.
He's looking. There's a page for Ashley Madison up on his computer. I don't know what he keeps talking about. This Duck Hunt.
Yeah, they
looking at Ashley Madison.
They rejected my application.
Oh, no.
We were talking about farms. We were talking about Ithaca before we went on this Duck Hunt.
I was talking about there was no chain restaurants out at the end of Long Island except for a Carvel.
Ooh.
And as freezing as it would get out there, we would go to Carvel like a weird amount. I would get that hot fudge sundae, and the hot fudge was enough. It was enough to warm me up.
Right.
Yeah. But when we moved here, I moved up in the the hills above, like Burbank, like where Warner Brothers is, there's a Chipotle. When we moved here, we were like, we're 2 minutes away from a Chipotle. It was like the greatest thing. So for maybe the first year we were here, we were just constantly going down the hill to get Chipotle, shove that into our face, and it was like the greatest,
right?
The greatest delicacy of all time.
It's that's dangerous territory when there's a chain you like that's like super close by.
Oh, Chipotle, you can't if you're good there, you can do okay.
You can
if
do
you get
okay.
The salad or a bowl.
It's just hard to exert that level of control.
We were just talking about this today. Who was it? Braun Strowman, the wrestler.
Oh yes.
He likes it because it's cheap and you can eat. You can, I think you can get some healthy meal. I mean, you can do a bowl or protein or whatever.
There's a weirdo who goes to this particular Chipotle who just is crushing containers of guacamole, like multiple containers of guacamole. Oh. That's all he eats. Like, he'll get like 5 or 6 guacamole containers, sit at a table, eat that guacamole, and hit the bricks.
That's what a madman.
Yeah, yeah, super gross.
A guac nut. This seems like a future murderer. The guac man.
Does he doesn't get anything else? He just gets the guac? Does he have it with chips?
Nope. He's just eating guac.
What on earth?
Like, I guess it's good fat. It'll make his coat shiny. Insane. I don't know. I'm assuming it's a weird diet. I just don't know.
I remember Chipotle being like such it was a West Coast treat when I first came out here.
Right.
Because it hadn't moved to the East Coast. There's now one in Quincy, even. They came to Quincy.
They're everywhere now, and I think that is a place that really like went from... Like there was a point where it seemed like Chipotle had such a novelty to it, and everyone was like, "Oh wow, Chipotle, this is awesome! Oh, a new Chipotle, let's go try out this new Chipotle." And now I think that they've kind of gotten
expansion problem.
They got knocked on their ass because even this Chipotle is not as good as when I first moved here.
Right, the quality kind of went down.
Well, it was after all those food scares.
Oh, that's what it was.
It's like they're like, we're not making as much money. Let's not put as much money back into it. So it's like it's that cyclical thing where it just gets worse and worse. Speaking of. On one of your first podcasts, you guys went to a Hawaiian barbecue place in Glendale.
L&L Hawaiian Barbecue.
Which I then went to thinking like, oh, this sounds good. And it was, for a long time, my favorite restaurant.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to be like, it sucks.
No, I know. It was really amazing. I loved it. But recently, that has fallen off, which has been super sad. The quality of the meats that they're cooking with, because it hasn't been very crowded, so maybe they're just not making money anymore. But It was like the top choice. Speaking of, I'm staring at the Dave Thomas Cup, which is glorious.
Yes.
Next to my monster jar.
Our trophy for our chain restaurant tournament we have in March.
I did want to say that, bar none, the greatest chain restaurant dish is the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's.
Wow.
Of all things.
Yes. Wow. You're speaking our language.
It's the greatest by a lot. I've thought about this a lot. Also, I should probably shout out Paul Scheer, Jessica McKenna, Jordan Morris. I've been bothering these people for years about being on the show, how great it would be, how great it is for them when they're on the show. I did it, guys. I'm here. I'm sitting at the shitty glass table, staring at the Dave Thomas Cup.
They were probably so baffled when you said something like that.
Why?
Dumb boys?
Jess was really into it. She loves the show.
Jess is great. We gotta have her back. So, but this is, I'm interested about this, because one thing we were talking about at lunch is that, and I know the spicy chicken sandwich is not particularly spicy, but you are someone who, as you have gotten older, and this is an ailment that has befell our friend Mitch as well, you can't handle spicy foods as much, like from a stomach standpoint.
No, and that evening, the night of Sunday evening, because not only did I eat the spicy chicken with you guys, I went to a friend's house who made spicy enchiladas. I slept maybe 1 to 2 hours that night.
Oh, my God.
And I had no antacids in the house, which was a huge mistake.
Oh, that's brutal.
So just burning, like to the point where I was choking and I was like kind of couldn't breathe, a heartburn. I sound really hot, don't I? Ladies, I sound pretty good. My wife and I are having problems, if anyone's interested. But just that, I had the rumblies, as you like to call it.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I do like to think of myself as a bit of a heat seeker.
I used to love, I loved spicy food. I still do. But yeah. I had stomach problems until last night. I did a similar thing where
You mean from our meal we had on Sunday? You had stomach problems until last night.
I did the similar thing though, where I got a chicken burrito for dinner, which wasn't. I didn't think it was that spicy. Mm-hmm. I tried to make it not spicy. I tried to have like just kind of a plain chicken burrito,
right?
But I did use some salsa, so maybe that's what it was. I was hurting until I went and did the UCB show last night, and it was almost. I had to run back to the house. I felt sick. I was got there right in time for the show. The spiciness of the food we ate on Sunday killed me until last night. Basically,
I heard about that show. Like you kept trying to steer every scene towards your character leaving the stage and going to the bathroom.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Which we all can know about the nightmare of having to use the restroom when about to do a live show.
Oh yeah,
a nightmare.
Have you had the thing where you're like in a business meeting and it happens? I've had that where I'm trying to pay attention. And I'm just like, I get the flop sweats from having to go to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
And I can barely think. And I'm trying to like be present. And it's near impossible.
I told you this yesterday.
Yeah.
I had an audition yesterday. Right. And I said that if I shit my pants in the audition, that this place gets zero forks.
You actually told me if you shit, like, because it was an autocorrect issue, you said, if I shit my pages at this audition, this place gets zero forks. And then you later corrected it to pants like an hour later, but I was like, shit my pages? I haven't heard that before.
Which means that that's a very intentional thing to do.
Right, right. Yeah.
To shit your pages.
I was once, so not only do I have a bad stomach,
yeah,
but I'm also a bashful pooper. Mm. So I don't like public restrooms or like even if, like here, I wouldn't poop here. I would have to go home.
Yeah.
So I was in Midtown Manhattan. All of a sudden something hit me. I was like, oh no. I was in an office with the worst bathroom in the world. I was like, you can't do it here. I got on the subway, which took about 45 minutes to get home. And the whole time, again, just like white knuckling it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I got problems. I should probably have just gone. Like, I didn't do myself any favors. I'm probably doing damage to my body by like doing that as well.
Yeah. So. That's tough, though. I know the feeling. I like you have no, that sort too. Of...
I'm 100% the same way.
You have those intestinal emergencies, and you're sort of like, what am I going to do? I had a similar thing on the LA subway. I actually texted...
On the choo-choo?
I was on the choo-choo. I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be a bathroom emergency.
Oh, no.
And I... but I texted... Mitch, you were on this group text. I texted a bunch of friends like, hey, anyone know a bathroom, a good public restroom near...
Near LA Live.
Near LA Live, where I was going, which is like kind of this downtown shopping center. And our good friend Evan Susser suggested the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton. And I tell you what, I went in there, I walked in, no one gave me any trouble because I just looked like I was supposed to be there, and I'm a that's white male privilege. And I walked right into that. It was a glorious... private executive suite style restroom. It worked out great.
Were you wearing like one of these fancy bird shirts?
Yeah, one of my many bird shirts.
Yeah, well, no wonder. They were like, look at this billionaire walking in here. Yeah. Look at all those birds on his shirt.
That's the protagonist of Duck Hunt himself.
I talked to Natalie and she said that you texted her, oh no, I might poo-poo on the choo-choo. Is that true?
Why is she telling you what we're texting?
We talk a lot.
Wait a minute.
I was going to say, to go back to something before,
yes.
I can't let it die. And this could be a good hashtag. I'll let you think of the name of it.
Yes.
But how are you making your sundae? What are you doing on your ice cream sundae? I don't think we've ever talked about this before, have we?
Yeah, I don't know if we have. Yeah. Hashtag plans for sundae?
S-D-A... They get it.
Yeah. You can put that one together on your own. You know, I like a sundae I do like a banana split. This is something Natalie likes a lot. Classic banana split.
I'm gonna say my point in a second.
But for me, that's like more of a special occasions thing. I think in general, I like pretty standard ice cream. Like if we're talking about things like vanilla, maybe a strawberry, nothing too fancy because I want those flavors to be pretty basic so the toppings can shine. I like some hot fudge on there, or you know what? I like a hot topping, either hot fudge or a hot butterscotch. You got to have some crunchies. I would usually go with like almonds or nut or you know peanuts, standard peanuts. Mm-hmm. Whip topping got to have, and I love a maraschino cherry. Got to throw one of those on top.
You know, this is funny because people are not going to like my answer, but how about you, Ben? What's usually your sundae?
Normally, you can't get a chocolate ice cream. Well, I always go hot fudge, right?
Yeah.
So you can't get chocolate ice cream with that. It's too much chocolate. I'll go for like a cookie dough sort of thing.
Ooh, that's good.
So you got that in there, and just a hot fudge. I want those nuts. I'm also talking about testicles. I want those too.
Wow.
Hashtag I want those nuts. And then just whipped cream. I want that cherry.
Yeah.
You want a man to dip his testicles into the sundae for a moment.
Yes, exactly. So I go back in time to that state sketch where they dips his balls in it. Go back forward in time, then eat the sundae. But I don't want, take that fucking garbage. I don't want gummy bears on it. Don't put any candy on it. I don't want any of that shit. keeping the buck away.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no gummies.
Yeah, but also gummy has its place, but not on a Sunday.
Gummy definitely has its place. Here's what I was gonna say.
Uh-huh.
No gummies, nothing like that. But I don't like fruit. I'm not putting any like strawberry or. I'm not even doing strawberry ice cream. Here's my ideal sundae. One scoop of vanilla.
Uh-huh.
One scoop of chocolate. Hot fudge. Maybe some caramel or something. I don't know. But probably not. Or butterscotch.
Two sauces?
Relax. Whipped cream and a cherry on. A very basic sundae.
I like them basic. There's a reason it's a classic.
Yeah.
There's a reason conventions are conventions. It just
I'm trying
works.
To think of a miss. Like maybe a little marshmallow. Like it depends. Like the other dipping.
You're
like the
too
other
saucy.
Sauce.
If
the,
you're going to put marshmallow, it's too saucy now.
All right. That's fair.
I think, I maybe had some success with some, like a little salted crumble, like a little crumble on there. Maybe had some success with some Oreo pieces.
Oreo pieces are different from the like gummies or something.
Oreo
like
pieces,
that.
Because that comes native to some ice creams.
Sure.
So I think it's fine.
Yeah, but
I'm not even going nuts. I'm not even.
Wow.
Neither nuts are going on my ice cream. I'm gonna do hot fudge and and basically hot fudge and whipped cream and a cherry.
I will say this: I am almost always a fudge guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to be in Brooklyn, in Dumbo, down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass, maybe eating one of the pizzas there that are very famous. At the end of the little dock they built, there's a little lighthouse, which is an ice cream place. They make everything in house. Get their vanilla chocolate chip ice cream with their homemade strawberry topping.
Man.
It's so damn good.
This sounds
and
like
I'm not a strawberry topping guy.
Right. But
this sounds like a magical place. It's in a lighthouse?
It's in a little baby lighthouse at the end of a little dock down in Dumbo.
Oh, man.
And there are two super famous pizza places like 500 feet from it.
Oh, man.
So you can eat all that good dairy.
Right.
And then get real farty while you walk around the park. It's really, really good.
It sounds like the kind of place you have to like answer a riddle to get inside.
It's paradise.
Yeah, that sounds
hey,
awesome.
Nick.
Yes.
Maybe we can go there someday.
It's very romantic, yeah, too. A lot of people do their weddings around there. So,
oh, that's
fun. You guys could hold hands. It'll be cute.
Mitch, we could renew our vows.
The Doughboys vows?
Yeah, the ones we took before episode one. But wait, I want to return to another topic we talked about a few minutes ago, just because, like, okay, you can't handle spicy food, but yet you like the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. Are you just like, I'm just going to take this hit because I like the sandwich enough?
Is not spicy enough to hurt my stomach.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the chicken we ate was what hurt my stomach.
Not particularly
I think it
spicy.
Was the enchiladas, plus me being just prone to heartburn. And then I think the whole day. And the day before I had tried, I was on deadline, professional writer. whatever.
So you're saying professional nerves are involved?
Well, no. Right. No, well, I tend to just stuff my face when I have a deadline. So I was eating an incredible amount of candy to just keep going. And then I went to McDonald's because I keep seeing those commercials for that freaking that new quarter pounder.
Oh, yeah. We had that pretty recently with our friend Jenny Pearson.
So I had that, a large fry. I had a little side of six McNuggets.
Mm.
It was not a good few days for me.
Yeah.
By the way, will that episode have aired where you talk about
that?
Yeah,
it'll have been out by now.
Well, I don't understand what's different about it.
It's out today.
Man. Yeah. I loved it.
It wasn't bad. I just don't understand what was different.
It's juicier. It's a little bit more flavorful. I thought
Jack
it was way
Allison
better.
Was very funny saying that he didn't like the change. He doesn't.
Yeah,
want
he
it
liked
to
the
change.
Frozen one better.
He liked the frozen patty. He doesn't want any beef at McDonald's to be potentially pink.
Right.
Which I guess I get.
It's also weird that he like went on a long Twitter rant calling out McDonald's about it. Like, Jack, calm down. He was like personally naming the CEO of McDonald's, saying he was responsible.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I might have gotten a bad one. I think I got a bad one that just seemed like the old one, because maybe it was just like so overcooked that it seemed like the old one.
I think this is a thing, because it's a fresh ingredient.
After my stomach problems, I had one last night.
did it hold up? Was it good?
It was great.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I will say
it is weird and different in some ways.
It's definitely a little different. But yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. I think because it's a fresh ingredient, they have less control of it over at the industrial level. So there's more variance in terms of which individual McDonald's is preparing it. Because McDonald's, I think, famously has a wide range of how good McDonald's can be. I mean, there's some shitty McDonald's.
Yeah.
There's some that are just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate to live, Natalie and I are fortunate to live right by one of the best McDonald's I've ever been
at. Of course, Santa Monica has a great
McDonald's. It's a great McDonald's.
Of course they
do. Even within Santa Monica, there's three McDonald's. And there's one that's not that great. There's another one that's fine, but then there's one that's fantastic.
Well, then I'm calling out the one on Olive in Burbank.
Oh, boy.
Fuck you.
Wow.
You made a shitty new quarterbacker. Wow. I was so excited, and you ruined it. Fuckers. But anyhow, we keep digressing to different things. I will not stop eating spice, ever. Right. And I will actually organize my calendar. If there's like... So there's a place that makes really spicy Indian food. I wanted some lamb vindaloo.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat that, I'm probably done for 2 days.
Wow.
I will just like not schedule anything for 2 days so I can eat the lamb vindaloo.
I like that.
Yeah. Because I obsess about food. I think about... We had fried chicken. I think about fried chicken all the goddamn time. I think about that Nashville hot chicken here in Koreatown. I always forget the name. Helen Ray's?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never been there. I think about it all the time. Like, should I go there? Should I wait in line? Should I?
I think you got to do it just Nick, to scratch
Nick,
it yeah. out.
Nick and I have said that of all the vices, food is probably the one that we like the most.
Yeah,
and,
I think
and,
so.
And it is a thing that I think of. I do think about it far too much. I'm similar in the same way, but I do think that what we ate, which is Gus's,
yeah,
I think that it did. I think it did hurt my stomach. I think it was spicy enough. And Howlin' Ray's, I ate some of the Howlin' level, which is insanely. It's insane, and I was down for a couple days. Like if you want to eat that level of it, you got to give yourself 2 days for that at least.
You just feel it right in your lower intestine,
right?
Yeah. Possibly your upper intestine, some part of your intestine, and it just burns, and you keep thinking you have to go to the bathroom, but you don't have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so I'm curious. I think I'm obsessed with food because I have 5 older brothers. And so it was like, you better eat that food or it's going to be gone.
Oh, interesting.
And so I had to constantly be wary of like getting to the food. Do you guys have big families? No,
I only have one older brother. Mm-hmm. He's a lot more of
cooler.
He's cooler. He's more athletic. He's more successful. He's got a family, owns a house.
Human.
Yeah, people like him. He's got friends. My parents respect him.
Likes cold salad.
Yeah. He's doing well. What I was going to say is that he was like a little bit more like he was a guy who's always doing sports and stuff. He was a little bit more athletic where I was more of the guy who was, you know, didn't want to do any of that. I would lean on my asthma to try to get out of PE. I like fitness now, but
a loser.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You were a chubby as a younger.
Yeah. I was a chubby, chunky kid. And then also like in my house, just my parents never, God bless them, but never for a second thought about eating healthy. It was just sort of like whatever we want is like available. And not that we were like spoiled in terms of like, hey, we're going to take you out for whatever you want at any time. But it was just sort of like, there was never, maybe you shouldn't eat that. It was just like, oh, you want Cookie Crisp cereal? Like, all right, sure. We'll get you Cookie Crisp cereal. And that was like what I eat before school. So, I mean, and I, like you mentioned earlier, Mitch, you were trying to roast me by saying I have ice cream every day. I don't as an adult, although I do have a weekly ice cream appointment. But I
Doctor Ice appointment? Cream, I'm here.
Yes, it's a regularly
he
scheduled
scoops
thing.
Ice cream into your mouth.
It's not like going to the dentist, but we do regularly on Sundays. We're like, oh, we'll go get a little ice cream treat.
And it is a man in a dentist coat. Feeds it to you.
So, but as a kid, we had ice cream for dessert every night. Mm-hmm. I had ice cream every night as a child, until I left the house.
You had a much better life than me.
Yeah, so
that's crazy to have it every night.
Yeah, so that's what food was just sort of accessible for me. What about for you, Mitch? I know you've described your family situation before, but go ahead.
I feel like they would buy some stuff. You know, they bought soda, which I think is the downfall for a lot of weight gain in kids.
Coca-Cola.
We were a Pepsi family, but we had a lot of it.
And I know. That's so insane that you were Pepsi family. Yeah, I don't even want to get into it again.
My father wouldn't allow it in the house because he used to work for Coke.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't allow Pepsi or
No Pepsi in the house.
Okay, wow.
Coke. He was Coke family all the way.
Yeah, we were a Coke family. Except I think we did have we'd have Pepsi every so often.
But there was no sibling fighting over food.
There was not really. I mean, like my sister, like I would get like with my sister or something, I get defensive over like the last slice or something. So my sister to this day thinks that I'm like a terrible sharer with food, which I am. I'm not good with sharing with food, and this is why, because I'm always like, the thing that bugs me with food is when so you ask someone if they want something and they say no.
Yes.
And then you get it and then they eat from it. That drives me more insane.
So never date never date anyone.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, that's what happened with me, basically.
Yeah, that's true. There's no danger of that. No, having seen your apartment, you won't be dating anyone.
My sister says that, but I always thought that, but like, I don't think that we were fighting over stuff. I feel like it would always be a clean your plate. Like, it was like, finish your dinner, eat your food that you had. And they weren't like very strict about specific mm-hmm. stuff. But I think a lot of my damage I did on my own, you know, which was like, you know, like eating terrible food when I was out with my friends and
right.
just, and honestly, like the sodas in my house. And then also like, I would have football practice and I would sometimes sleep through dinner and then I'd go downstairs and like make myself a box of macaroni and cheese.
That's just growing up though.
Yeah.
Both my parents worked. So we would eat, they would bring us like a lot of fast food and stuff like
sure.
that. And it's not like we didn't have food. We had it. I was just insecure about it because my brothers would eat a lot of it or all of it. But even like it took me, like I remember being, I don't know, I was 13 or 14. I had already eaten dinner. My brother Jared, had some sort of after school activity. He went to it. My mom brought him home late, had stopped at Roy Rogers, which was a fast food chain. I don't yes. know if you guys know about it.
I've heard of it. I've never been.
They did fried chicken and roast beef sandwiches were their things. And I was obsessed with the roast beef sandwiches. And they brought it home and I was like, ooh, great. Mom brought me some Roy Rogers, but it was just for Jared. And again, I was maybe 14 years old and way too old for this. I started crying. And she was like, it's all he has to eat. And I remember screaming, it's all I have to eat. Like, pathetic little fatty. And even still, like, if I go to like a wedding and it's a buffet or something like that, I'm like, I get so angry at the people ahead of me thinking they're going to take everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like a sheepdog I used to have. If you got anywhere near his food, he would...
Just to clear things up for listeners, yeah. your brother Jared, did he grow up to be Subway's Jared or not?
yeah. Close. He is definitely a sex offender.
Oh, okay.
But he's not.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No,
he grew up to be, he's a one-hit wonder.
Oh, no way.
Yes. Well, I guess actually this is, his song has both to do with being a sex offender and food. It's sex and candy.
That's your brother?
Yes.
Your brother's the sex and candy
yes.
guy?
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's and also a one hit wonder is nothing. That's a thing to be proud of.
That's one more hit than I have.
Yeah.
His life is great. He complains about it a lot, and then he's driving a Porsche. He lives in the most expensive neighborhood in Philadelphia. He has never worked a day in his life. life's okay for him. He used to live in F. Scott Fitzgerald's old house on Long Island. He's done all right.
He's Marcy Playground was the band.
Yes, Jared Collins.
Jared, yeah, he's right in here. His name is that. Is his name spelled correctly in his Wikipedia?
K-O-T-L-E-R. We have different fathers.
Okay, someone's got to fix that in the Sex and Candy Wikipedia.
Oh, no, it's it fucked up?
Yeah, someone's got to... So there's a little typo there.
So it was
there.
Him and this guy, other guy that we went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying your brother, was he like a sporto guy when you were younger? Or?
No, all my other brothers were sportos.
Oh, okay.
Except for that brother and myself.
Okay.
I was a fat little nerd, and he was a good-looking kid who was very musically gifted.
Wow. Mitch, Sex and Candy, a song you and I can relate to half of. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. Mitch, did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? You know, before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for more than 15 subscriptions each and every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Wow. Wags, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Doughboys Patreon, the Doughboys Double, bye-bye.
Mitch, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you themselves, Wags.
Wow. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Wow.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/doughboys.
Do it. Today's episode of Doughboys is brought to you by Helix. Wags, I've had a Helix mattress now for 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. It was pre-pandemic, I know that much.
Man.
I know. And you know what? My sleep has greatly improved. I love my Helix mattress. It's like a cloud. Wally and Irma sleep in there together. They love it. They don't want to leave the bed.
Cute.
I don't want to leave the bed. Probably bad for you. You know what? Anytime I'm late here, blame it on Helix.
Wow.
I'm sleeping away.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, Wags, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is a problem for me. I heat up.
Problem for me, too. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Wags, I took the Helix Sleep Quiz, and I was matched with a Moonlight Lux mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and soft, just like me.
Wow. And not only is the mattress the best you've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy, as you were telling me. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free.
You know what? Ross Kimball helped me set it up. Good guy, Ross.
Shout out to Ross. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15-year warranty, depending on the model.
And now Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/doughboys and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Helix Partner 20.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. What the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen costs and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They told me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh. You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you're worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in doughboys for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password doughboys and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password doughboys for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Do it.
Welcome back to Doughboys, here with Ben Gruber.
Hello.
We're talking about Gus's Fried Chicken. So we're there at the Burbank location. I'd never been there before. I'd heard of it. Uh-huh. And I'd say, like you, Ben, I'm someone who loves fried chicken. It might be my current favorite food.
It's a great food.
It's great. Fried chicken is great. And, you know, I know this place's reputation. It is a place, I think in terms of its trajectory, it was just kind of this local haunt for a while. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of these, like some of these places, you know, has been established for years before they decide to start franchising it, and it expanded fairly rapidly, though it hasn't quite, like, it's not quite like Halal Guys territory where it's just spread everywhere super quickly. But there are a few locations now, and I am interested in if any Memphis locals want to tell us how the original Gus's is, and if you've compared it to any of the chain locations, how it compares. But you'd been there before, right, Ben?
I was there. I had read about it opening, uh-huh, and again started thinking about it all the time.
Right.
I went maybe like in the first 2 weeks and was less than impressed.
Okay.
In the first 2 weeks.
This was at the Burbank location.
This was at the Burbank location.
Right.
And so I was preparing myself before we went on Sunday.
Yes.
To be like, yeah, it's still bullshit.
Blah. Right.
And thinking about the different styles of fried chicken and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, they do the bad kind. Like, the coating is different than the other kind of coating that I like.
Sure.
Like, it's not craggy coating. Like,
right.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is more of a craggy breading, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
This is a smoother breading.
Yeah, it's a little tighter.
It's really I think it's really tight.
Actually. Like,
yeah,
that.
It is. Well, I'll say this. There was a huge difference in what we ate on Sunday and what I ate in that second week.
Interesting.
Yeah. Quality levels. Like, they dialed it in.
Yeah. I noticed that actually happened with, and you know, Shake Shacks are a little inconsistent out here, but I do say we did go to this, one of the earliest Shake Shacks, or one of the first West Coast Shake Shack, and it's very, boy, I can't talk right now, and it's in its first couple weeks of operation, and it was a little, it was not great. And then it got a little better as it progressed.
Shake Shack's chicken sandwich, by the way, fucking bullshit.
Wow.
Fucking bullshit. Wow. I love Shake Shack.
Yeah.
I like the burgers. Mm-hmm. I like the little fries. I like their concretes or whatever they call their ice creams.
Wow.
That chicken sandwich is fucking bullshit.
I like it in the way that I like the McChicken sandwich.
Sure.
It's just such, to me, it's just like, you better not have that be your, like, that's going to be a side sandwich. And I know that that's, you know, fat guy speak when I'm saying side sandwich.
I'm so with you on side sandwich. Yeah. My wife makes fun of me all the time for being a side sandwich guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the that one at Shake Shack is definitely a side sandwich.
Right.
It's not your Mc, and you know what? The McChicken is a side sandwich too.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They're quite, and I won't even say the McDonald's cheeseburger is a side sandwich unless you get a couple of them.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, another a side sandwich for me. Actually, this will be, you know what, we can use this hashtag side piece. Let us know what side sandwiches you like. My go-to for a while was the the jalapeno cheeseburger at Carl's Jr. Hardee's.
Ooh,
and that's like it's not quite as substantial as like that Western bacon burger, but it's like a good value. It was on their value menu for a while. And
talking about the Rumblies, that sandwich.
Yeah,
right? The Rumblies.
Those jalapenos.
It's got some jalapenos on it.
That's got some kick to it.
Yeah.
But wait, how many Wendy's spicy chicken sandwiches will you eat? That's not a side sandwich.
No, that's not a side sandwich.
No.
That one's substantial.
Do you eat two of them,
enough.
or do you get like a side cheeseburger with it?
I get a side junior cheeseburger.
Smart.
I usually just get that, and then some. You know, I'll get like I'll get fries or a chili or a baked potato as a side.
Mm.
But yeah, usually that spicy chicken sandwich is substantial enough for me. It depends, though. It's a gray area. There's nothing wrong with getting a second sandwich when you're getting that one.
The Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich, like we said before, is the perfect level of spicy, and it doesn't hurt my which is crazy.
Right.
It doesn't hurt your stomach like other
things. No, it never. As a matter of fact, if I'm going on a road trip, or if I'm at the airport here, there's a Wendy's. Or is there a Wendy's in Philadelphia? One or the other. The point is, I'm afraid to eat anything before getting on a plane, but I will eat a Wendy's chicken sandwich.
Interesting.
And never had a trouble. I'm not going to shit my pants on the next plane I get on. But
well, Ben, you and I were there, and we were waiting for Mitch for a bit, so we ordered a
sick fuck.
I was so happy about this. I showed up. I see Nick sitting outside on a bench, and I look at my watch, and I see that somebody is late. I was so happy. I was seeing it happen in real life.
So we got a. So I got myself
sick fuck.
I'm just saying what happened. I got myself a sweet tea, which I thought was quite good. Mitch, you
now is going to be like if I get there at like 12:01 or something. Are you going to start? Look, I'm not saying that's the time I got there. Yes. I was about 9 minutes late.
You were 11 minutes late.
According to what? Were you fucking? Do you have a stopwatch?
I took a screen cap of my phone when you arrived. Hold on.
Guess what? Your phone's off, you fucking.
This makes me so happy.
You arrived at 1:11.
Not bad.
Pretty good time, if you ask me. I texted you on my way that I had to stop for gas. Yeah. I ran out of gas.
It's fine.
Fuck you. Anyway,
I mean, it's awkward. Nick and I don't know each other, and we were said to be and sit there together.
Oh, we met before.
Yeah. We had met before, yeah. But we don't know each other.
Sure,
I felt we did grow very close though. Over
you can
absence.
You can never really know Nick.
To give you a heads up. Well, I'm learning that.
Mitch, you're so averse to starting on time that our engineer Rob, who's here today, showed up a little early, and you shoot him away.
I did. He was welcome to come in the house. I was in my underwear.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to kick him out of here.
Yeah, but the thing is, you had pants on and you took them off.
I did say to you, which I said to Nick, that I probably shouldn't have said it. I'll turn the mic towards you, but I said that I don't have my pants because I opened up the peephole to look at you, and then I said to Nick,
he's talking about the peephole in his underwear.
It was very demure.
As soon as I yelled out, like, I don't have pants on, I was like, why did I tell him that? But I was around here cleaning. I didn't have my. I was just running around in my boxers, cleaning up the house a little bit.
Picture that, ladies. That's good stuff.
Honestly, a lot of people will like that.
Yeah. Look.
Did you have like a light sheen of sweat all over while you were doing it?
I think that sheen never goes away. Nick. You're feeding the trolls. They're going to get mad at me.
It was fine.
No, we had a very pleasant experience.
We had a guy. Anyway, what I was going to say, that sweet tea I thought was quite nice. And you got yourself a lemonade, right, Ben?
I did. Garbage.
Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah, you had asked if they...
I came in and I said, is your lemonade made in-house? I saw that you had one.
Yeah.
She said, no, yeah. I abandoned it. I got a sweet tea.
What a bummer.
But it's like, I can accept that, but it's like whatever brand they're buying is just garbage.
Right.
Like, you buy a good brand.
Yeah, don't hit me with that country time.
No, I should have gotten sweet tea.
Yeah, the sweet tea I thought was nice. Did you like that, Mitch?
I did. Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's a good execution of it.
Not like overly sweet, too. Right. It was sweet, but it wasn't super sweet.
And not syrupy at all, which sometimes those things will get.
How many could you drink, though, before going like hypoglycemic?
I tapped out at one. It was a decent size.
I had about 1.5.
Yeah, I don't think I could even do a full refill of that.
Yeah,
yeah, I could probably do 1.5. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, she took my cup away when I bought. It was like half full, which was free refills, which was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
For a house-made drink.
Oh, and you get a free plastic cup, which I forgot to take home.
Yeah, the plastic cup is nice. I didn't bring it either. I forgot to get it. We should have got it.
We also
damn it.
So I thought also too. While we're talking about the service, I thought it was quite nice. I thought she was very friendly. I thought she was very accommodating.
Busy. It was busy.
It was busy, and it was a little slow. It's especially waiting for our entrees. I think took a bit of time. But beyond that, the actual interpersonal service was quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't abusively long. I did notice it took like a little. It took a second.
Yeah,
but it wasn't the worst I've ever experienced.
Yeah,
like,
not by a long shot.
She was very smiley,
very 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 sweet.
Especially for a place that it was crowded in there. Not crowded, but like almost every table had someone at it.
Right. So, yeah. And then so we got for our starters, we got the fried green tomatoes, which was a server's recommendation. And we also got ourselves some fried okra, and that comes with a ranch dip and sauce. We also got a honey mustard dip and sauce just to try it.
I didn't even try that honey mustard.
It was fine. It was nothing special. It was honey mustard. I thought both dip and sauces, honestly, were just fine.
The ranch seemed almost like out of a Hidden Valley.
That's what I thought. Container. Yeah.
Do you think it was as good as Hidden Valley, though?
That's a great question. You know what? Every time I buy Hidden Valley Ranch, though, I never love it on a salad. Like, it might be better for dipping or something.
It is a better dip. Yeah, it's not as good of a dressing. It's a little too thick. I liked both of those. I thought they had a good fry to them. I like the fried green tomatoes in particular. I thought those were quite nice.
The fried green tomatoes I thought were great.
Yeah.
I liked them a lot. And I regret giving you the last one. Did you have three or two?
I had two.
We okay. both had two.
Oh, we both had two.
Your though. Guest had one.
Oh, you had one?
Yeah.
You deferred to us, though. You I said did. We could. We said we could have the last.
Wait a minute. So I just jumped.
I'm just so goddamn grateful to be here that I feel like you guys deserve that extra tomato.
I would have given it to you if I knew you wanted it.
I jumped out the gate and ate two. I didn't even realize. Sorry, everyone.
I liked it as well.
Yeah.
I liked it more than the fried okra. Both were deliciously crunchy.
Yes,
I'll say that.
Great
and
crunch.
I actually don't. I did not enjoy the taste of the okra, but it was so crunchy in a delightful way that I just kept eating them.
The, right. the okra I kept eating. It was that weird thing too, where I'm with you, where I wasn't like blown away by it, but I just was continually eating. It kind of was like the issue with it is that it was almost like a ranch delivery system,
right?
Yes.
And then the ranch wasn't. The best.
And then so. You got like that swampy taste of the okra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know, great texture, I thought.
It does have a really good texture. You're right
well
about
cooked,
okra.
But okra's stupid.
I don't know. I kind of like okra, but it's weird.
I know that
it's
people
a weird
get mad
flavor.
At me, but okra's, it's dumb. It's a nothing flavor almost.
Don't, you're going to make me, I'm going to have to do my Cajun Tim character. He's going to get so upset. My very famous Cajun Tim character. He's going to talk all about that and etouffee. You're going to be sorry.
It's a little, I mean, it's always a little slimy, especially if you have it prepared in a stew or something.
It was, and it was sliming out of the fry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coating.
So, I mean, that's just the nature of okra. It tastes a little weird. It tastes like something just like that pulled out of a swamp. It's like a weird, distinct flavor.
Do you think if you were to bite the swamp thing, it would taste like that?
I think so. And I'm not surprised that you like it, Nick, because it is.
He wants to bite the swamp thing.
It's because one, he wants to bite the swamp thing. And two, it is kind of like just a hot vegetable.
You're making a hot salad crack.
I mean, if, truly, don't you feel that way?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is your Cajun Tim, is he similar to the water boy in any way?
It's exactly. Yeah.
He is the water Bobby.
Look, I still have a lawsuit going with Sandler.
Oh, boy.
Cajun
long has that been in court? It's been a while
really
since the movie came out.
I got a real bad lawyer.
Yeah.
he keeps telling me any day now.
Pick up the pace.
So
then we got, so from the starters, we moved on to the mains, and I got myself the two-piece dark, which is the thigh and leg. I think you guys both got the white combo.
The three-piece white.
The three-piece white combo.
Two breasts and a wing?
Yes.
Yes.
And then the combo comes with baked beans, slaw, and white bread.
Uh-huh.
And then beyond that, we got the remaining sides, which are offered. So they have a potato salad, greens, seasoned fries, and mac and cheese. Let's start with the chicken. What did you guys think of that Gus's fried chicken? I mean, because that's the reason this place exists. That's the reason this place is something of a sensation.
I liked it. It was it was good. It's funny to me with... I don't know what the deal with any of these Nashville hot places are, but like Howl and Raise is boneless, and this is bone in chicken. We're talking about the chicken, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got scared because then if I got this wrong, I'm blowing away the main thing.
Should we not talk about the chicken yet?
I don't know. I got scared. Why did you want to jump right to the
Let's go. Let's back it up and we'll go to sides then. I'm sorry.
Thank God.
It's nothing to stress out about.
I'm stressed.
Okay. We'll run down the sides. Baked beans. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I would have liked them maybe a little warmer. Mm-hmm. Mine were kind of room temp when they came out, but I thought that they had a great flavor to them.
Yeah, they did. They were good.
Yeah, not too molasses-y sweet.
And you're right. They were just a little bit cold.
Yeah. The slaw.
I didn't notice that. I mean, I didn't notice the temperature. I think there was like sort of a vinegary kick to them or something that was delicious.
Yeah.
It's kind of cut. A lot of times it's like it can be like too fatty or too rich, but
right.
I thought it was delicious.
Yeah, I love those
this
beans.
This is what I'll say is that the funny thing about the beans is that and look, this is probably the area of food like I've said this before on Doughboys, but like barbecue and southern barbecue and things like that I don't know the most about, but
sure.
It seemed as far as like the cohesion of the meal. The potatoes. I mean, I'm sorry.
You got a worded A calendar. cohesion.
You piece of shit. The coleslaw and the baked beans.
Uh huh.
just it felt weird with fried chicken or something.
I don't know. I really liked it.
That's pretty classic.
Yeah, it made me think of like a backyard cookout. It made me think of like,
I'm thinking more like mashed potatoes or something with it. I don't know. Or mac and cheese. I know that those are both heavy.
Were you embarrassed when Nick asked the waitress to heat up the slaw?
Come on.
He said, sweetie, can you throw this in the microwave for a couple minutes?
Excuse me, my slaw isn't boiling.
Let's take it easy.
The slaw was good. It just, I don't know. I felt like it just didn't come together as if that was like the main meal you got, you didn't get any sides or something. I would feel like it would be, oh, it's just a kind of a strange crew.
Well, I'll say this. I think that that's perhaps a fair point, and there may be some people who agree with you. I will just say that you can substitute one of the other sides for an additional 50 cents. So if you're not craving the baked beans and the slaw, you want some fries and mac and cheese or whatever, you can just make those for changes for a small upcharge.
Yeah.
I thought the slaw was fine. I mean, like, slaw, I feel like, has such a low ceiling.
Yeah.
It's like you get, like, the best possible coleslaw is not going to
blow
your
mind. I didn't even care about the slaw. I mean, it was fine.
I have only recently actually had a fantastic slaw that I think that I want to eat a lot.
Oh, wow.
And it's at another chain restaurant in Burbank, which I'm now, is it the Smoke, not Smokehouse, what's it called? Smoke?
I mean, there is a Smokehouse, but that's
of. That's a prime rib place.
Yes.
No, this is across from Island Burger in Burbank.
Oh, wait. You're not. This isn't a chain we've reviewed before, is it? Is this the?
You might have been there.
Hold on.
They do like a vinegary slaw with peanuts, and it's so
yes,
good.
I know what you're talking about.
Where is
this? This is a place, Wood Ranch. It's Wood Ranch. They do have a good slaw at Wood Ranch.
It's really, really good.
Yes.
I mean,
it's more vinegary than mayo-y.
Yeah. The slaw we ate was just mayo-y. It was fine.
It's fine.
You know what I should have done? I always put some pepper on the on slaw, and I didn't do it. I think that always helps a little bit.
It would have helped to season it up a bit. That slice of white bread, which is, I think, more just like a garnish than anything. I mean, it doesn't really...
But I will say, I liked... And we'll get to the chicken in a minute, but I liked taking off pieces of chicken, wrapping it in the white bread, and eating it.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed that.
I made your little chicky sandwiches.
I made a little chicky sandwiches.
Terrible.
It's good for mop-up duty, too. If you got some leftover bean juice, whatever, you can
get that sweet bean juice.
Leftover bean juice.
All right, so the sides. Potato salad, greens, seasoned fries, mac and cheese. I'll do my rundown, then I want to hear you guys' take. Potato salad, I thought, was well seasoned, very, very mustardy in a good way, but it's aggressively mustardy.
You know what I'll say about it? It was a solid, to quote the Ross sisters, this is a something that no one will know. It was a solid potato salad.
What?
Look up Ross sisters solid potato salad and take a look at it.
Is this like an old vaudeville song or something?
Yeah, it is. you're exactly right. Yeah.
Oh my God, it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 1944 song?
Nick, get educated, you dumb bitch.
Hey, do you know that Andy Segunda, who you had on,
uh-huh,
his grandfather is a one-hit wonder from back in that time.
Wait, whoa. What?
Yeah.
What song did his grandfather sing?
Bamir Biz Dushane, which was a huge thing. I think the Andrews sisters sang it.
Wow.
It was a big number one hit, Bamir Biz Dushane.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is everyone having one-hit wonders?
It's weird that you guys don't have any one-hit wonders in your family.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think. God, I don't know if there's any Mitchell that did anything of. Well, I mean, they were all great. My dad is a great man, but I don't know if any of them had. If there was any entertainment or show business Mitchells.
Yeah, certainly none in my family. I think they're ashamed of what I do. I mean, with good reason.
Wait, can I bring up?
Yes,
this is off the food subject, but this is talking about both your levels of fame.
Yeah.
Now, I have now worked with both of you a little bit,
right?
with Mitch came to the rap party for Little Big Awesome, the Amazon cartoon, and the head of Amazon Animation was there and saw Mitch. And started to like stutter. She's like, what's he doing here? So it turns out your love character is like a big favorite of hers.
Oh yeah.
And so she wanted to meet you and stuff like that. I was like, it's okay, we could go over and talk to him.
Because that sentence also could have had the complete opposite meaning.
What's he's a monster. And then with Nick was coming in to write on something. And an executive was supposed to be there from Warner Brothers. The executive had to bow out. And then he was like, hey, how'd that meeting go? Who'd you meet with again? And I said, Nick Weiger. He goes, wait a second. The guy who wrote the monster fuck? God damn it. Why didn't you tell me? I wish I was there.
God.
So that's, wow. That's you both. Very famous.
God. Cool.
Yeah. Wait, so technically, you're a one-hit wonder.
Hey, okay, all right.
People we're both love
kind
the
of,
monster,
we, I guess we kind of maybe are both one-hit wonders. Yeah.
My half-ass parody of a far more successful comedy song that I do on a podcast once a year. It's a hit, I guess.
Yep.
These poor people who had any sort of... I mean, that Amazon woman should be put into a mental hospital.
Yeah.
She really connects with your character.
So Ben, did you give your thoughts on the potato salad? I apologize if
I did not. I thought it was good. Would I order it by myself? No, I wouldn't. It was good. It didn't offend me. If I was like sitting in someone's backyard and they gave it to me, I'd be happy enough to eat it.
It was truly just it. To quote the song again, it was just solid. I didn't want to. You'll like that video is crazy, by the way, if you ever watch it.
I'll watch it.
They're like contortionists.
Whoa, that's cool.
You sick fuck. It was good. It was also one of those things that I'm like, I'm not like blown away.
Right.
And that was my issue with, I think, a lot of the sides. Like, none of them really blew me away. We haven't talked about my favorite one yet.
Yes, we'll keep plowing through these. I will just say I would get the potato salad. I would sub out the sloth, I think, if I was going to get the combo.
Oh, for sure.
The greens, I'm not an authority on greens. I'm not going to claim this is an area of my expertise. I will say that, like, sometimes when I've had greens in the past, they're like a little too soggy and wet, and these were not that. I thought they had a good texture to them. Mm-hmm. My only critique is I thought they were a little under seasoned. I felt like in hindsight I should have put a little hot sauce, maybe a little salt on those, just to wake
which
them
is maybe
up
our own fault. Maybe we were in charge of that.
No, they should be better seasoned by themselves. I am an expert on greens.
Oh wow.
And he's right.
Yeah,
I eat a lot of barbecue.
Oh okay.
Especially in New York, and there was a weird barbecue renaissance, and there was great greens there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
This was not that. These were underseasoned.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
But the texture was fine.
Yeah,
and there was meat in it. There was some kind of meat.
Yeah, there was like a little bacon pieces or something.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever had any good greens, honestly. I don't know if I've...
Go to Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the barbecue place out there, which name I'm also forgetting. but it's going to be right across from the fairway at the end of Red Hook.
Mm-hmm. Someone will know this.
You'll be by a bunch of docks.
You hop in a kayak.
Go to that barbecue place that's right there. Their greens are like enough to go there by themselves.
I like how all your New York recommendations like involve some sort of side quest.
Well, that's everything's hidden in these like waterfront areas.
Right.
You don't really have access to get to.
All down by the docks. Everything's down by the docks.
I spend a lot of time down by the docks, guys. I think you know what I'm saying. Writing was very hard in New York. There wasn't a lot of work. A guy had to do what a guy had to do.
So the other sides that I thought were my favorites of that bunch, beyond the beans, the seasoned fries and the mac and cheese. Yeah. The mac and cheese I thought was great.
I thought the mac and cheese was the one great side.
And the fries I thought had a nice season to them, a good spice blend, too spicy.
The fries were good, but then, like, they were good.
Don't waste the starch. Eat the mac and cheese.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Did you throw any hot sauce on the mac and cheese?
I didn't. I should have made more use of that Louisiana hot sauce.
Yeah,
that was
because
right
like one or two splashes of that in there, and you really
I didn't
you
touch
got
the hot
going.
Sauce, and now I feel dumb. What was the hot sauce at the table? Rooster or
it's not. It's that Louisiana hot sauce. It might just be called Louisiana hot sauce.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. It's a good hot sauce. It's a good one for the fridge here.
I didn't touch it.
I'm a Crystal man, but Louisiana hot sauce is fine.
Yeah, I mean it's similar to Crystal. I agree with you. Crystal's better.
But I thought overall the sides were I think we're all on the same page. They were all kind of in that fine range. Right. The mac and cheese was and the beans were the same.
Right. So really, you should have beans and mac and cheese.
Yeah, I guess so. But the mac and cheese is so heavy, and I kind of like the potato salad is kind of like accomplishes the same thing that the slaw does. Is that it's kind of it cools it down a little bit. Yeah. We don't need to plan out my future combo meals. So the chicken. Let's get back to the chicken, Mitch.
And also, if you put some pepper on that on the potato salad, it would be better too.
Yes,
I didn't do anything. Yeah, let's get into the chicken.
All right, you were leading off with your thoughts. Let's pick up where we left off.
I thought that it was really good. You know, like we were saying that it's like really just like. It's so different from that KFC of like bready and crumbly, where it's just like almost like a shell. It's really it's really fried.
Yes.
But then at the same, like almost seems like over fried, but then also at the same time isn't over fried, though. And it keeps the heat in that skin really well. And the chicken is like insanely hot.
Yeah.
And juicy and good. They do a good job with it. I don't know if I like 100% love how fried it is.
Mm.
I almost wish I love fried chicken, but you know what I'm saying? Like the shell, the skin is just like, it's really fried.
Right.
Yeah.
It absolutely is like super, like as cooked as it can be without getting burnt. And
yes.
I thought I really liked it. I like the crispness of the skin. Like what you were talking about, I thought the meat actually was like, at least with the dark meat, which I got, was nice and moist and had a lot of flavor to it, which, you know, the worst case scenario for the fried chicken is you get something that's like maybe a little over fried and the only moisture you're getting is the grease from the chicken and the actual meat is a little dry.
No, the white meat too was, and a lot of the time you can get dry white meat if it's overcooked like
right.
that, but I think that is just the style of it. Like, right. I don't want to say it was overcooked. I think that is just how it comes.
Right. I will just say that, like, I expected something spicier as a neophyte, someone who hadn't had it. I thought that, like, oh, this is that hot chicken that is the trend right now. I thought it was going to be a little spicier. I don't think that's maybe not their style, and maybe they're using hot chicken in a more traditional sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's a spice to it,
but it's not like super spicy.
No, it's not like eating the hottest level of buffalo wing.
For sure, yeah.
I also don't know if I would want it to be more spicy.
I wouldn't mind, and whatever, this is a place that's existed for a long time and they kind of have their own thing figured out, but I would say, like, as I would not mind if there was Popeye style two different levels of heat and I could get a little hotter if I wanted it. But Ben, you are a huge fried chicken fan. You had one experience here that did not go so great. What did you think of the chicken this time?
Well, like I said, I was ready to go in and not like it again.
Right.
That kind of hard shell around the chicken is not my favorite kind of fried chicken coating. I do like the breadier, craggier kind. But I thought it was great. It's like just spicy enough to give it some flavor.
Right.
The chicken itself, so moist, so delicious.
Yeah, very moist.
Flavorful, not like rubbery or anything. Just great.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know, the shell had a good crunch to it.
Yes.
I was thrilled. Just thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of that, you do get that textural sensation of you bite into that crisp exterior, and then you've got that meaty, sort of juicy interior. And when you get those perfect bites of that chicken, it's delightful.
I was going to say that, I was saying that style of the shell and the fried levelness of it isn't like my favorite style, like Ben, but I also agreed that it was great. It was really good.
It's a very good version.
I was enjoying it. I was pulling off pieces, making my little chicky sandwiches. Nick, I even offered you one of the nicest things I've ever done that I'm now bringing up. Was I offered you because I thought that you had ordered two chicken breasts.
Yeah.
When you would actually order the what was it, thighs? And
I actually got, I wrote down I got the two piece, but I'm realizing now I got the three piece.
You got the three
because
piece.
I got two thighs and a leg. You thought one of my thighs was a small breast.
Yeah.
And so you were offering to change your breast out for one of my thighs, which was very nice because it's much more food, but I said I prefer the dark meat. I know you prefer the white meat, so.
Yeah. I mean, I like dark meat. I just don't want it to be, I kind of like, if I would want a mix.
Yes.
I wish I could do that, actually, is get a piece of white meat, a piece of dark meat.
You might be able to order by the piece.
Yeah, I think you can do that if you want.
I messed up.
Get them individually or get a half chicken if you want a little bit more. And then so we had the chicken, which I think we all agree was the highlight. And then we had a couple of pies for dessert. Both got them a la mode, as you mentioned earlier. A pecan pie, which was our server's recommendation. And then also the chocolate chess pie.
And you brought a slice home for your good lady wife.
I did. I brought home a chocolate chess pie for Natalie. I don't know if she's had it yet, actually. I got to ask her about that.
Well, it's too bad that she couldn't have it warm. And I'm going to say this. I was pleasantly surprised by the desserts. I thought they were good.
Very good.
The pecan pie was very hot.
Piping hot.
But it had that nice cooling ice cream on top.
That's true. Just vanilla ice cream, right?
Big old scoop of vanilla.
It was good quality ice cream, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed. It seemed like it. It seemed. It didn't seem like a. it seemed at least like a higher, either made there or like a higher level of ice cream that they got from somewhere.
I wish we'd inquired if it was made in-house. I suspect that they have them made just from a place that does good desserts, but they're both very good quality.
Yeah.
And they have a number of pies on the menu. I mean, we tried most things on the menu, but they have like six pies, so we weren't going to go through.
I think they must make the pie. Or yeah, you're right. Maybe they order it from somewhere.
I think they make the pies.
Yeah.
I think they make the pies. I can't believe they make the ice cream, but they definitely, I think, make the pies.
Yeah.
The chocolate chess pie, I was my favorite of the two.
I mean, pecan pie is one of my favorite pies, so I would, I like that one better, but I like the chocolate chess as well. They're both quite good.
I, with you, the pecan pie was my favorite. The chocolate chess pie, I was surprised that I liked, because they also have a chess pie.
Yes.
Which I tried when I was first there, and I thought it was pretty garbage. Boy, so maybe just being chocolate makes it that much better. Or again, maybe they dialed it in.
What is a chess pie?
Is it a molassesy southern no bake pie or something like that?
I might be getting too specific about this.
I'll say this: I ordered two pieces of pie from there the first time I went. They have like a coconut cream pie. That was really good when I was first there. So I would also recommend the coconut cream pie.
All right, I got the chess pie Wikipedia open. It's a basic chess pie is a filling composed of flour, butter, sugar, and eggs, and Bobby Fischer?
Yeah, you got to throw a chess player.
Weird.
An anti-Semitic chess player.
I saw you, like when you, like, cock a gun to shoot it off. I saw your head go back to say Bobby Fischer in your weirded out look.
It's a Dennis Miller tick. All right.
You and he have the same politics.
Wait a minute. Let's get to our final thoughts on Gus's world famous fried chicken. Mm. So Ben, you've listened to the podcast. You know how this works. We'll each go around. We'll sort of give our closing argument and then ascribe it a fork rating from 0 to 5 forks. We will begin with you.
I don't love every single thing that they have there, but I can put together a really delicious meal. I go 3-piece white, go beans, go mac and cheese, call it a day, get a piece of pecan pie or the coconut cream pie, go with the sweet tea, and that's a goddamn good meal.
Yeah.
That's a delicious, delicious, delicious meal. They're very nice there. I don't want to be crazy here. I feel like 4 stars is maybe too high. Oh, crap. It could be... Sorry, forks. I said stars. Goddamn idiot. You listen to the show. You know this.
It's fine.
So dumb.
You were thinking stars because you have an Amazon Prime show.
Oh, that is.
That's the system.
By the way,
use.
Guys, watch that show and rate it 5 stars. All right, I'm going to go with 4 forks.
4 forks. Great. Very good score. Go ahead, Mitch.
And I'll tell you why I think it's a great score in a second. The hot chicken craze, I haven't, it's big here in LA.
Right.
And I've had Gus's before. I went with the commissioner, Evan Susser, I believe, and Jack Allison back in the day, when it first opened. Mm. And I liked it. I feel like I didn't have as bad of an experience as Ben, but I liked it okay. This time when I was there, I was like, you know, the chicken is just good. That's the star of the show.
Right.
And if you get the right sides, you're going to be happy. But, like, everyone is there for the chicken. And I think that, like, having good mac and cheese and decent beans and a solid potato salad is, like, just a bonus for the chicken there. And the desserts being good, that was great. That's great, too. And honestly, I feel like the desserts maybe even inched out the sides because the desserts were just like a nice pleasant surprise. So
right.
get them if you go. And then the sweet tea I really enjoyed. And I just the chicken is really good. It's a different style. It's not the style I usually like, but it was great. And you know that I like at Howlin' Race, it's like a boneless thing, but I do like bone-in chicken. I like to pull out all the pieces and eat all the fried crispiness off the back. And I took a breast home specifically and ate it about 2 or so hours later. I had it cold, and it held up great. It still held up great a couple hours later after it had cooled down.
Right.
It was kind of a cold fried chicken. Gus's does a good job. It's a great example of it of the specific style. I need to eat more of the. I'm just saying that I need to try more. And I've had Howlin' Race, which I think is great, but I haven't had a ton of hot chicken. So. Yeah. I'm going to go 4 forks as well.
Four Forks. Very good. Very
That's
good
why
score.
It's a good score. Yeah.
We're holding hands.
We're holding hands.
Oh my God.
There's a possibility. It's a hand. It's a. Well,
it we'll makes see. It into the club. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Oh no. Son of a bitch.
This place is great. It's really good. And it's one of the rare experiences on this podcast where as we're talking through the meal, I was getting hungry for it again. Mm. And as we're hitting all these things and we're talking about the chicken, I was like, oh yeah, man, it was really good. And I want it again. And I, you know, a lot of the sides, you know, we talked about that they don't have a perfect hit rate on the sides or the apps, but you know, the ones that stand out really do stand out. And I think whatever your favorite is, you'll find something that you like there. And they do have a nice dessert. They do have a nice sweet tea. It's a great little, we didn't dig in much in the atmosphere, but it's a nice little sort of like, you know, country restaurant style atmosphere, very beyond just the service. It's kind of got like a very homey sort of, you know, the way that the tables and the way the decor is. And then, you know, everything's served on paper plates and plastic utensils, which is a little wasteful, but it kind of works for the sort of backyard atmosphere that you've got there. I really liked every element of it. And, you know, it delivers on good fried chicken. Is it the best fried chicken in the world? I would say maybe no, but it's very, very good. And I would say, is it leagues better than Popeyes, which is maybe, you know, my favorite chain chicken? Again, maybe no, but it's good. It's very, very good.
The quality of its chicken is better than the quality of Popeyes.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. The quality of chicken, the quality of the ingredient is definitely better. So that's a thing to factor in. So, you know, why am I fucking around here? Five Forks.
Wow.
It's not in the hand-holding club, but it's in the Golden Plate
Club. Five Forks.
Yeah, I really liked it. And you know what? We're ballpark buds on this one because we're in the same proximity. But this is great. This place is great.
Five Forks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Where did you think I was going?
I thought you would be four and a half.
No, I'm blending a five. This is great. It was great fried chicken. I loved it. I had a great time.
I feel great about this.
I had fun.
I'm so happy that he's happy.
Golden Plate Club.
It's in the Golden Plate Club. Hey, that was sweet. Gus's fried chicken. We've got a food stuff. We're going to decide if it's worth putting in your mouth. It's snack or whack. Now, Ben, we've got this Reese's Snack Mix, which I picked up over at 7-Eleven, and there's actually two variants here. So we've got the Snack Mix, which is a, you know, I've only got two of these. I should have picked up three, but we can pour out a little bit and share. And Rob, if you want any of these, feel free. I don't know. Hopefully you don't have any allergies to what we're having here.
We have two packs of one of them.
Yeah, we got two packs of the Snack Mix, and then the bites are more just individual discrete bites, so I think it'll be easier to share from one pack.
Okay.
But so the bites are like little...
Should I not open up this one?
No, go ahead and open it up. I think it'll be fine. The bites are like little Hershey's Kiss-sized nuggets that have milk chocolate, peanuts, peanut butter, and caramel.
Okay.
And then the other one is more of a, and you guys have the wrapper. Mitch, maybe you can read the description for us, or Ben, if you want to do so.
Sweet and salty mix with Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Minis and Reese's Pieces Candy, pretzels, and peanuts.
So it's more of just a traditional trail mix, a snack mix with some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups thrown in there.
I'll say this right off the bat. Kind of hard to get open.
Yeah, these are, we're fumbling with these. All three of us are having issues. Yeah,
it was...
All right, I've got one of the snack bites. I'm going to send this over to you. Oh, Jesus. Ben, it looks like, wait, are these Reese's Pieces or cups? Or is it both?
I didn't get a cup.
Oh, so there are three different variants. I stumbled into a third variant that I didn't realize. What? There's a cups one and there's a...
No, no, I just didn't get a cup.
Oh, okay.
Here, wait, I'm going to find a cup.
Okay.
No, yeah. It's all the same, I think.
Okay, I know what I feel about that.
Well, the snack bites, I will say, very peanut buttery. It reminds me of an individual Snickers or a Payday. With the chocolate coating. The chocolate's pretty dominant, but yeah, it reminds me of like a fun size Snickers. Or you know those, what are those called? The Snickers bites. Not the fun size, they call them something else.
King size.
No, king size are
minis. What are you talking about?
Minis?
Snickers minis?
Yeah, the little ones, the square ones. Is that what they're called?
Snickers peanut butter?
No, not the peanut butter ones.
Then the Snickers minis.
Is that what they're called?
Like the ones that you get on Halloween?
Yeah, they're like little ones.
Yeah.
But not like the fun-size bars, like the ones that are like bites.
Bites.
Oh.
Maybe they call them bites.
They might call them bites.
I
think they call them bites.
Yeah, maybe they're bites. I don't know. But those are also like the ones that are in like candy dishes.
Pass me some of that snack mix. What do you think of that snack mix, Ben?
I think that snack mix is trash.
Oh, God.
It's got Reese's Pieces in it.
Yeah.
But if E.T. were to have that, he'd go home.
Wow.
Yeah. Gross.
Oh, my God.
Super gross. Don't like it. Those other ones, what are the other ones called?
The snack bites.
The bites. Delicious.
I'm with you on the snack mix. It's very weird.
You don't need that. Those pretzels, it's not good pretzels. There's these little pretzel balls in there that are garbage.
It's kind of half-assed. The pretzels and peanuts are not adding much to it.
No. Even the Reese's, little baby Reese's cup that's in it, just eat a regular Reese's. It'll be much more delicious.
Yeah, but guys, the bite I think is quite nice. Go ahead, Mitch.
I have the exact opposite opinion.
Whoa!
Mind blower.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't dislike the snack bites. But I really like the snack mix. It is crazy that there's the little mini peanut butter cup in there, and it does overtake a lot of it. But it does a nice job of salty and sweet. It's a good. I like it, and I like Reese's peanut butter and chocolate.
Hmm.
I enjoy it. I think E.T. would eat this, and he'd say, "I am home. I'm staying here."
Wow.
And then he turned gray, and dry out.
Oh no.
Rob, what did you think? Any thumbs up, thumbs down on either of those?
I'm with Mitch. I think...
Wow.
What are the bites?
Yeah.
Bites are pointless.
Wow.
I think that Snickers fills that category, but I'm a big fan of a junk food trail mix.
Uh-huh.
That's up there.
Wow.
Mitch is holding a gun to his side right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a second. That's not a gun. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. So it seems like we're split here. It seems Ben, you and I, I'd say we're our snack on the bites and whack on the mix, and it seems like the opposite with Mitch and Rob over there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, all right.
I'll say snack for both of them, but the snack bites are like just barely a snack.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what is the deal with the snack? There's just peanuts in it now.
They get like a little cluster in there. Yeah, it's like a little bit more crunch, a little bit more texture than a standard Reese's cup. Yeah.
I don't like.
But seriously, just go eat a Reese's cup.
Yeah, Reese's. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And that's a thing I lean on sometimes. It's the standard is better than these variants. So yeah, Reese's cup is going to be better. Well, that was snack or whack. Just like a restaurant, via your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. Today's email comes to us from Lacey Smith. Lacey writes, "I know where you stand on mayo. Any opinions on Miracle Whip? I like to switch it up now and then from the standard mayo and mustard, but I feel pretty alone in my sentiments. Thanks for the question, Lacey." Ben Gruber, any thoughts on Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip, vile.
Wow.
Disgusting. But that being said, I love that commercial campaign they had for it where like hip kids were like Miracle Whipping it up on rooftops in the city. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
I do remember that. It was actually super funny.
Oh, man. I love that a lot, but I don't like Miracle Whip even a little bit.
It was such a miscalculated attempt to like try to make something edgy.
Yeah, it was like... mayonnaise is for your grandma.
Right, yeah. I mean...
What is the difference with Miracle Whip and mayo?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to look up...
Is it like margarine and butter where one is oil? Or no, they're both oil.
Yeah, no, it's a less expensive alternative to mayo is the way it was presented.
What?
Oh God!
You know, mayo for all those rich folk.
We're spending all our money on mayo.
Probably happens at the Weiger household.
I think it's got a cheaper. It looks like it's got a cheaper oil. Am I wrong about that?
Okay.
Is there eggs too?
There are actually does have eggs in it.
Does mayo stay good? Doesn't mayo stay good if it's refrigerated for a long time? Right?
I think it has a pretty long shelf life.
Yeah,
I will say that. Yeah, it's got and I'm reading the ingredients here now: soybean oil, high fructose corn syrup, vinegar, modified corn starch, eggs, salt, natural flavor, mustard, flour, potassium sorbate, paprika, spice, and dried garlic. That's what I'm remembering about it. It has a little seasoning to it, which mayonnaise does not. Mayonnaise is a little bit more neutral.
But I don't think mayonnaise has all that artificial shit in it.
It doesn't, but there's a little bit more zing from Miracle Whip, a little bit more zest.
I don't eat Miracle Whip enough that I can't really. We're gonna have to do some sort of Miracle Whip taste test and hear your favorite day of the podcast.
Oh boy!
In the commercial, they're just dipping like celery stalk straight into the Miracle Whip.
Oh God!
It's got a little bit of a runnier texture, if I remember too. It's like not quite as it's not as thick and viscous as mayo.
Fuck Miracle Whip, then.
I don't.
I'm a Hellman's man with mayo,
right? Yeah, bro.
Yeah, oh, boy. I don't know.
Isn't that a New England place? Is that New England company?
Maybe it is New England. Because Weiger likes Best Foods, of course.
Yeah, anyway, that's how we do it on the West Coast.
Yeah, that was confusing when I moved here.
There's the Hardee's Carl's Jr. line, and
I'm going to say that Hellman's is the original
Best
because
food
it's an East Coast
Hellman's
one.
Line. I don't like Best Foods. I actually have never had Hellman's, and I never will.
We got to get you to the East Coast.
I'm never going
to
have that shit. Yeah, but I think Miracle Whip has
it. I'll just open up a can of it, put it on the table. I'm sure you'll fucking eat it.
Oh, I won't. I dig right in. I think Miracle Whip, I guess, has its place, although I imagine that place is kind of shrinking as people want things that are a little bit less artificial and processed, and that it is one that is so aggressively processed, even more so than you know, like a Best Foods or Hellman's mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. I think people are more likely to lean towards like a, you know, like a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods mayo these days, or even a homespun varietal. I don't know.
Here's the tough thing with mayo, is that like, when I'm back in Quincy,
yeah,
my mom will sometimes make me a turkey sandwich. Very nice. I know that I'm 35 years old. It's pathetic. But she'll make me a turkey sandwich with cheese on it, and she'll put mayo on there. And I always feel like with mayo that, like, you're supposed to just be getting, like, kind of like the hint, like just a little taste of it. It's not supposed to be too – well, then again – that spicy chicken sandwich, it is a little bit more mayo.
They glob on
it
a little bit.
But like it's almost like if it's doing its job, you're like, it's not overpowering your, like, I, so like,
right.
Would I even notice the difference between the two of them? I wonder. I don't know. This is a big question for me. I don't eat mayo a lot in general. So
I think you would notice it because it's distinct enough. And I haven't had Miracle Whip in 20 years, but I had it as a kid. And it's definitely tastes different than mayo. You definitely can place all it right. more. So I think you would notice it in the same way that you would notice the difference between like a ranch and a blue cheese. There's enough of a difference. Okay. So you're like, okay.
Then I'm going mayo is my guess.
Yeah.
We got to test it out.
100% go mayo, but I have no... no hatred towards Miracle Whip. It's fine.
Mayo ep of Doughboys coming soon.
All mayo.
All mayo.
To full 90 minutes on mayo. And our guest is Armin? Oh, boy. If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Ben Gruber, thank you so much for joining us. The show is Little Big Awesome. It's on Amazon Prime right now.
That is true. It is starring many, I think, friends of the podcast, certainly. Sure. Jess McKenna stars in it. Weird Al is in it. Amy Mann's in it. Mike Mitchell's in it.
I'm in there.
Dave Franco, Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, Nicole Byer, Lennon Parham, Kate McCucci.
Wow.
Other people I can't remember.
Murderer's Row of great comedy.
Murderer's Row.
And Mitch.
Yeah, and Mitch. Mitch is actually a regular. There is multiple episodes that feature Mitch. You can hear Mitch sing in the final episode.
Oh, that's right.
A man with a surprisingly delightful singing voice.
Surprisingly delightful.
Much like Gomer Pyle. It catches you off guard.
What the fuck?
You can hear Mitch play a bed besides his signature character, Lyle.
True. Which is... if I get reincarnated, yeah. I'll become a bed, hopefully.
So go to Amazon.
You could finally have a woman on top of you.
Damn it.
Some of the comments, yeah. People are talking about your voices in the comments.
Oh, no way. Oh, is this on a Reddit or a...
No, it's just like right there in Amazon.
Oh, man. And
they said, would not buy again.
these are the one-star reviews talking about
these
it.
Are the one-star reviews we're getting.
I recognize that voice from me working at the Taco Bell drive-thru.
This guy yelled at me.
Yeah.
Because I forgot his cheesy gordita crunch.
Hey, that is what happened. The only time I wasn't even mean. They were probably meaner. They were meaner to me, I think.
No, I know you. You wouldn't be mean to a service worker.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Check out Little Big Awesome. Ben, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey guys, you want more Doughboys?
To get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club.
Sign up at patreon.com/doughboys.
Do it.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.